May the peace of God rest upon each one tonight. Bring you greetings in the name of Jesus. Also greetings from the Living Word believers in Commerce, Texas. Some of you here I know, many of you I don't know, but it's good to be here and hope to get to know you better over this weekend. As Brother Ernie said, this is a time of emotions, maybe tension, trepidation. I know what that's like. I'm sure you're experiencing it in a way that I'm not experiencing right now, but I've been there. But you know, more importantly, we serve a God that knows and understands. And our Lord Jesus Christ has walked upon this earth and knows what it is to feel emotions and to experience these feelings that rise up in our hearts. And I believe he understands tonight what we're facing, how we feel. The title of the message I was asked to preach tonight is A Servant for Jesus' Sake. And as a springboard for the message, I'd like for you to turn to Matthew chapter 20. We'll read a few verses there in Matthew 20. As we consider the thought of being a servant for Jesus' sake, or a servant for the sake of Jesus Christ. And, you know, ordination like this, it's maybe good for us in a way to search our hearts and just to be real before God how willing we really are to be a servant for Him. You know, I trust each one of us would say that we're willing to be a servant for God, a servant for the Lord Jesus Christ. But are we willing to be a servant wherever he calls us? You know, that's a challenge for me. In Matthew chapter 20, verse 20, it says, Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, What wilt thou? She saith unto him, Grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand and the other on thy left in thy kingdom. Verse 24, And when the ten heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. But Jesus called them unto him and said, Ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. These two disciples apparently thought, like we maybe do sometimes, that being great means sitting in prominent places and having the glory of men. And Jesus told them the astounding truth that if you want to be great, you know, if somebody wants to be great, be your minister. And by the way, that Greek word minister, in Greek, the word is, I don't know if I'm saying it right, but something like diakonos. And as you may guess, it's where we get our word deacon. It means to serve, an attendant, a waiter, one who runs errands. It's translated as minister, servant, or deacon in Scripture. In fact, it's the very same word used in 1 Timothy 3, where it talks about the deacon qualifications. It's the very same word. Then Jesus goes on to say that if anyone wants to be chief among you, let him be your servant. And that word simply means slave or a bondservant. And so, you know, this is contrary to human nature. This is contrary to human reasoning. But tonight, for us to be useful to God, we need to come down. We need to become small. Small enough to be useful. Small enough to serve. You know, the path to greatness is to minister to others, to serve others, to voluntarily make ourselves a servant of Jesus Christ and to serve where he calls. In the example of Jesus, he came to serve others. And if we are a servant of Jesus Christ, may we follow in his example in serving others and use them. Sometimes we're too big in our own eyes to be useful to God. So as we consider a servant for Jesus' sake, there's three things we'd like to look at. Three characteristics of someone who is a servant for the sake of Jesus Christ. And the first one is, such a person will live a life of service. Kind of the obvious. If it's a servant, he will serve somebody. And in this point, I guess, has two sub-points. Number one, we'll serve God, and then we'll also serve man, or be a service to mankind. So as we consider the thought of serving God, a servant, for the sake of Jesus Christ serving God, one principle we have to remember is Jesus said there in Matthew, I think 6, he said, no man can serve two masters, so he must be our only master. And we're not going to turn to that scripture, but may we consider that. If I want to be my own master and serve the Lord Jesus Christ, it's not going to work. We can't serve God and something else. And then in John chapter 12, you can turn to that scripture. We're looking at John chapter 12. I'll start reading in verse 24. Read through verse 26. Ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his over, if any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. So in verse 26 there, Jesus said, if any man serve me, let him also my servant be. So to serve God, we must follow God. Do what he calls us to do. And I want us to notice that phrase in verse 26 where it says, there shall servant be. And I didn't spend a lot of time studying this. I'm not sure what all this is saying, but the one thing I want to bring out is we must dwell in the presence of God. If we would serve God, if we would follow God, we must dwell in God's presence. As we saw there in verse 24, self must die. A corn of wheat, when we plant it, when we plant wheat in the ground, unless that kernel dies, it will not grow. Unless we die to self, we will not be useful in the kingdom of God, and we cannot be a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ unless self dies. We cannot serve him if self is in the way. In Psalms 100, verse 2 and 3, it says, serve the Lord with gladness, come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. The psalmist here invites us to serve the Lord with gladness. When we think of worshiping God, we think of a joyful time and an uplifting time. But many times serving the Lord, it can just be hard. When self needs to die, when we're called to do things that we would rather not do, it's not always easy. Maybe we don't always feel like doing it with gladness. But I want to encourage us this weekend, wherever the Lord calls us to serve, purpose in your heart to do it with gladness, to serve with gladness. And there's a difference between serving God because I'm not even sure this should be called serving God, but serving God because we're afraid of what God will do to us if we don't serve him. We're afraid of hell. We're afraid of what happens if we don't serve him. Versus serving God because we love him, because we worship him, because we choose to follow him, because we adore him. The first one is trying to pay a debt that we cannot pay, and it will always lead to frustration. The second one is the result of a heart that's filled with gratitude because of a debt that has been paid or canceled by someone else. If we have been redeemed, if we consider what Jesus did for us, there in the Garden of Gethsemane, why would we not serve him wherever he calls us? Our service to God should be because of who God is, not because of what we expect to receive in exchange. True, there is a reward promised for the faithful, but serve God because of what he has already done for you, and do it with gladness. Is your heart so full of gratitude for God, to God, that you are ready to say yes, Lord, to whatever he asks of you? To serve God is to obey him, be yielded to him. In different writings of the epistles in the New Testament, I believe Paul, James, Jude, Simon Peter, and John in the Revelations, all in their writings, in their introduction, call themselves a servant of God. And that's simply, that word simply is meaning a slave or a bondman for God. They are voluntarily making themselves a servant for God. If we are the servant of God, we will do God's will. We must be broken, humble, penitent, obedient, and surrendered if we would be a servant of God. And remember, Jesus Christ, he came to do the Father's will when he walked upon earth. He was the ultimate example for us. So as I mentioned, a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ lives a life of service. He serves. Not only do we serve God, we serve our fellow man, not in the sense of worshiping man, but we minister to our fellow man. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 25. Start reading in verse 34. Matthew 25, verse 34. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee? Or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in? Or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. If we are a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, if we're serving God, we will minister to our fellow man. We will serve our fellow man. A servant of Jesus Christ is small enough to serve the lowliest in the lowliest ways. You know, the story is told of a college student who applied for a job at the factory, and the boss gave him a job. And first day of work, the boss came and handed him a broom. You know, told him he can sweep the floor. The young fellow said, "Well, but sir, I'm a college graduate." The boss said, "Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know that. Here, give me the broom. I'll show you how." You know, well, that's a little bit humorous. Maybe it's the way we are at times. Are we too important to sweep the floor? You know, God wants men and women. I say men especially. I know, you know, we're the work of this weekend is ordaining deacons, but God wants men that are small enough to sweep the floor or whatever needs to be done. You know, we serve God by being of service to our fellow man. Are we too important to be useful to God? Do we have time for the needy, for the lowly? Do we have time to talk with the visitor that shows up in church that maybe isn't well-dressed and maybe doesn't smell the best? Are we willing to take them home for lunch? Spend time with them? Do we take time to try to get close to the young person who's starved for attention and acceptance? And in his efforts to gain acceptance, he acts in an obnoxious way. Can we look past that? Can we love the person enough to try to get close to them? Can we serve in a lowly way without resenting when we're called to do that? Or is it just a duty we want to quickly get over with? I'll tell you a little story, and this is about myself. I sometimes hesitate to talk about myself, you know, when I'm preaching, But I guess this story's at my expense, so I'll tell you about it. So there's a young man that's been attending our church off and on. Local man, or his parents live about an hour away, and he's a young man that faces some mental, emotional struggles. Sometimes doesn't think the most clearly, and through some unwise choices in a time of mental instability, he needed some medical attention. And he called his mom, she came, and she took him to the ER. And this man he's paranoid about doctors. He's spent time in psych hospitals and different places, and so he does not want to see any doctors, almost never. I mean, he's really paranoid. So his mom drove him to the ER, and when they got there, he refused to get out. She called me, wondered if I'd come. I was out on a job just finishing up. Wondered if I'd come and talk with him, try to persuade him to go in. They had the ambulance crew out there, and he didn't want to go with them. And so I went, talked with him. Finally, after a long time, talking with him, pleading with him, he agreed to go in if I go in with him, stay with him. And so I did, and I had went to the ER directly from the job I was doing. Ended up staying late into the night, and he actually ended up staying overnight, but until they kind of got him settled down and stuff, it was really, really late. And so a little bit before this time, I had received some criticism, and this criticism, just in brief, related to me being criticized of not caring enough and not reaching out enough to the needy and the people that need help and so forth. And as I was sitting there in the hospital, I started kind of grinding on me. Some resentment started building. It's like, how unfair. You know, if only those people could see the sacrifice I'm making. If only those people could see what I'm doing. You know, I chafed at needing to do this. And God brought me to this scripture. Inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. And I had to repent. You know, the Lord just kept nudging me and reminding me, wouldn't you be willing to do this for me? You know, the Lord had to show me it's not about me. And it's not about the people that I choose that I want to serve and the way I want to serve them. It's not about whether people notice it or not. It's not about whether I receive glory for, you made this sacrifice. You know, that's not what it's about. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ and serving Him and following Him. So may we serve God and also serve our fellow man. According to the scripture we read here in Matthew 25, if we turn a cold shoulder to these needy people, and maybe it's not always spiritual, physical needs, sometimes it's spiritual needs. If we turn a cold shoulder, we're doing that to Christ. And talking about doing it for His glory leads us into the next point I have, a characteristic of a person who's a servant for the sake of Jesus Christ. The next point I have is he serves for the Master's glory. It's not for own glory, it's for the glory of the Master. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. Second Corinthians 4, verse 5. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We preach Jesus Christ, or whatever we're doing. I mean, for every one of us, even if you're not a preacher, we serve Jesus Christ. And we serve mankind for the sake of Jesus Christ to bring glory to Him. The glory belongs to Him. Notice there in verse 6 how it says, we received, go back there. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts. It's not something we produced of ourselves. You know, God gave it. Through Jesus Christ, He has shined into our hearts. And any good that comes out of our life is because of what flows into our life from Jesus Christ. It's not ours. We don't own it. We can't take credit for it. We dare not do that. It's not something we produce. And verse 7 says we have this treasure or this wealth contained in or poured into our earthly bodies by God. The excellency or the abundance of the power is of God, and it's bestowed upon us by God. Are we willing to give the glory to God? Are we willing to serve without being concerned what man thinks about us? Simply for the glory of God. Maybe tell you a little bit more about myself. Just a little bit of history. In 2015, we moved to Commerce, Texas. We had come from a different setting, different background, and I'm a person who's natured that I would rather just sit back and let somebody else lead out, let somebody else speak. And maybe a little bit of an introvert. You know, I was the type of person that when reorganization came around, I'd kind of hope nobody really noticed me and would put me onto any big responsibilities. Just be fine with letting them bypass me. And 4 years later, in 2019, we had ordination. I was ordained minister. A bit over 2 years later, we had bishop ordination. And I was called to the office of bishop. And I struggled a lot with that. And I still do at times. And one of the things I struggled with the most is I'm afraid of failure. You know, I'm afraid of not measuring up to what people think I should. I'm afraid of not doing a good job. Afraid of making a mess of things. Afraid of what people will think of my leadership. Afraid what people will think of my preaching. And I've come to realize that one of the biggest reasons I struggled so much to accept my calling is because I was so concerned about my own reputation and my own glory instead of glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ. Concerned what people think of me instead of seeing what service I can do for the Lord Jesus Christ. I find that God is not so concerned about what others think of me as He is whether I'm willing to faithfully serve Him wherever He calls me. Without fear of worrying what man's going to think of me. And I think you understand, I'm not saying we shouldn't pay attention to our brother's opinion, but I'm talking about just being worried that, you know, I'm going to do a poor job and people won't think too highly of me. You know, we can't allow ourselves to be controlled by the fear of man. In Galatians 1 verse 10, Paul writes, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ." If I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. And he may well have been talking about those who weren't following Christ. But if the thing that drives us is to please men, we can't be an effective servant of Jesus Christ. The third characteristic of a servant for Jesus' sake is one who is willing to be a vessel as the master chooses, or the type of vessel that the master chooses. I invite you to turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 18. Jeremiah 18, we're going to read verses 1 through 6, and we're considering the thought of being willing to be a vessel according to the master's choosing. Jeremiah 18, verse 1, "The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel." Stop reading there. If I may paraphrase, I believe the Lord Jesus would like to tell us tonight, "O Strawberry Mennonite Church, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O Strawberry Mennonite Church." Are you as a brotherhood willing to be as clay in the master's hand? Do you believe that the Lord is holding this church in His hand this weekend? And that He's very interested in the work of this weekend. And I believe the Lord has His hand in this. And He wants to do some molding and some shaping. And for Him to be able to do that with you as a brotherhood, as a congregation, then there must be individuals who are as soft clay in the potter's hand, who are willing to allow Him to shape and to mold. And I have something here with me. How many of you have ever watched a potter make something? Raise your hand if you have. How many of you have made something yourselves on a potter's wheel? So this past spring, on the school children's field trip, we went to a potter's house or a shop or whatever it was called. And there they allowed us, the school children and us, to make something. They showed us how. Then they allowed us to make something. So I made this cup. And, you know, if you've watched a potter, even if you didn't make any, you know how the potter has the ability to shape and stretch and mold. And, you know, that clay is so soft and you can just form it into whatever shape you want. You know, when I made this cup, I thought maybe I'll go ahead and seal the thing sometime, coat it with whatever you need to so I can actually use it. I made a groove in here, so if I want to use it for drinking coffee, I can, you know, put my thumb and finger around there. And it actually, I think it would work pretty good. I haven't used it yet because I didn't seal it. But tonight, are we willing to allow God to shape us and mold us like the potter shapes and molds the clay? Are we willing to be the vessel that God wants us to be? You know, back to what I said about my ministry, another reason that I struggled so much in accepting God's call on my life is simply, I didn't want to be the vessel that God was asking me to be. And I resisted. And I've repented of that. Are we willing to be whatever vessel God wants to shape us, whatever shape He wants to make of us tonight? You know, some of my children there at the potter's house, they didn't make a cup like this. They made a plate. Are you trying to be a cup tonight and God's asking you to be a plate? I mean, maybe that's a crude illustration, but maybe God will ask you to be something different than what you want to be this weekend. Allow the potter to shape you. Are you willing to allow God to shape your brother into a vessel that you didn't think would fit for him? Will you, as a servant of God, allow God to have His way this weekend? You know, maybe you nominate a brother, and maybe that brother isn't in the lot, or maybe he's in the lot and he's not chosen. And maybe instead a brother's chosen that you just kind of have a struggle with. Maybe you can only see his faults. Maybe there's a personality clash. And I'm not saying that we should overlook, I mean, that we shouldn't go with scriptural guidelines of qualifications for deacons, ministers. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about, you know, maybe there's just somebody you have a hard time being close to and getting along with. There's something I want to tell you. I want you to keep something in mind. Maybe that brother, as he goes through this weekend, very, very keenly feels how undone he is. And maybe he's also struggling with it. I'd like to encourage you, if that happens, that you would pray for him, that God would mold him into whatever vessel God wants him to be. Because, you know, God's the potter and we're the clay. And this thing has been baked. And I can't reshape this thing. I don't think this thing could be reshaped without breaking it. But may we have a soft heart. And you know, maybe there's a brother that looks to you like you just can't see how God can shape him into what it takes to be a deacon. Just allow God to do that. You know, God can do that. You know, we had a young man in our congregation that was facing some difficulties and met with us ministry and was sharing some things. And just before he left, he was standing over by the door and had something else on his mind he wanted to share. And it was kind of bothering him, it seemed. And he said, he addressed me and said, you know, when you were ordained bishop, I really struggled with that. And it was hard for him to bring it out and to say it. And I just looked at him and told him, you know what, that's okay, because I did too. And you should have seen his mouth fall open. I mean, I don't think that thought ever crossed his mind. The point I'm making, not only should we surrender to what God has for the church here this weekend, whether God calls you or doesn't call you, but you know, if you struggle with that, just be aware, the brethren that are called are probably struggling with it too. Pray for them. Don't throw any rocks. And maybe, you know, like I said, you're not called to be a deacon, but maybe you're called to go through the lot. And you face that uncertainty, and you are not chosen. Just allow that to be a time where God can further mold you into His image and further perfect you and make you what He wants you to be. Let God have His way in your life this weekend and beyond this weekend. Remember, the servant doesn't choose what work he does for the master. He serves wherever the master asks him to serve. You know, in a very practical sense, if Brother Ernie hires somebody to go work for him, and he tells this employee, go out to this address and put gutters on this house, and he decides, you know what, the neighbor's house right beside there is a lot shorter and it's a lot easier, I think I'm going to gutter that house, you know, he wouldn't be a profitable employee to Brother Ernie. Because after all, you know, the neighbor didn't ask for gutters and isn't expecting to pay for gutters. You know, so it is with us. If we're a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, we don't choose where we serve. We serve where the Master calls and what way He calls us. Do you trust God this evening? Do you believe that God is able to use you should He call you to the office of deacon? Do you believe that He's able to mold you and shape you and use you to fulfill that calling? Are you willing to let Him do that? You know, maybe you think that, like the same as I have thought many times, that I don't have the gifts and the personality and just a whole list of things I can come up with, reasons that I shouldn't be called to what I've been called to. But you know, God doesn't seem to worry as much about those things as He does about an humble and a broken heart. A heart that's willing to follow Him. Willing to serve wherever He calls. Maybe just a word to the sisters here tonight. You know, I don't know many of you. And it's, you know, I don't really know those of you who are married to a husband that's eligible and those who aren't. But I assume there's a lot of mothers here, maybe some of you with little children, whose husband is eligible tonight to be called as a deacon. And I'm sure there's a lot of emotions and different things that you're feeling right now. Maybe you feel like your cup is full. Motherhood, being a wife and a mother is a full-time job. You don't know how you're supposed to be able to handle more stress. Your husband being gone more, sharing your husband with so many people. Whatever all may be going through your mind. You know, maybe your life is a little bit like this cup. It feels like it's full. There's not room for anything more. This cup has thick walls. It's got some weight to it. It's sturdy. It's solid. It feels comfortable. It feels stable. But you know, when we watch those people in the Padre house, they could, you know, before the clay was baked and dried, they could take something the shape of this cup, and they could start working that thing, and they could start thinning this edge out and pulling it out and opening it up, and they could shape it into a beautiful bowl that could easily hold twice as much as this cup. And you know, God can do the same with you. And as they do that, these walls become thinner and thinner, and you wonder if they can stretch it. But the experienced potter knows how thin they can make that clay. You know, if God calls your husband to be a deacon this weekend, yes, your life as a stable, solid cup that's full and comfortable, it's going to change. Some things are going to be different. There's some things that are going to need to be reshaped. You're going to be stretched. But you know, the potter knows how much the clay can take. And the potter knows how to reshape this vessel to where it can hold everything it's called to hold. God can enable you. God can make you able to do what you're called to do. I just encourage you to trust God. God will not bring you to it if He will not bring you through it. Tonight, may we all put our trust in God as we wait on Him for the outcome of this weekend. As you go through the nomination process and then the choosing by lot on Sunday, think of it as God's hand molding and shaping vessels as He chooses. You know, when we watched those experienced potters making something, it was amazing what they could do with this ugly-looking lump of clay and watch the vessel take shape. That's what God wants to do this weekend. And this isn't just for the one to be an ordained. This is for each one of you here at Strawberry Mennonite Church. You know, as God calls two brothers to the office of deacon, the rest of you must also adapt and be reshaped and adjust to this. There's going to be changes. There's going to be adjustments for every one of you. God wants you to allow Him to reshape you through this. Allow Him to have His way. Be willing to be a vessel according to the Master's choosing. In summary, as we read there in the first scripture we looked at in Matthew 20, Jesus gave us the beautiful example of how we can be great for the Lord. We can minister. We can serve. It says there in that scripture we read that he gave his life as a ransom. May we be willing to give our life in serving the Lord Jesus Christ and being a service to our fellow man. So in conclusion, a servant for Jesus' sake will live a life of service, serving God and being a service to mankind. He will also serve for the Master's glory, and he will be willing to be a vessel as the Master chooses, whatever the Master chooses for him. May God bless each one of you here as we continue through the remainder of the service. Why don't we kneel for prayer at this time?